Jesus, we just praise you this day, Lord, and how we appreciate your presence and your wonderful workings among your people. Lord, we're so glad and thankful that you ever called us out of the world that we might understand your will and do it, Lord. Oh, how we praise you, Lord. And we pray that this day we might be faithful to our calling and recognize, Lord, that you have something for each one of us to do. And we are asking this day that we might hear what we must hear, Lord, through your Holy Spirit in order to do your will more perfectly. We pray for the families represented here that you will bring every unsaved loved one into the ark of safety. Answer the prayers and burdens that are here. Forgive us our many sins as we freely forgive those who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that we will be obedient to the Father, faithful to do your will. We ask you for grace this day to help us. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, you want to move that knock away from the face. Thank you. All right, we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. When the men's council, I have a short meeting in my office right after the service. Well, it should take more than 5 minutes if that. All right, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, and here we go. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the east. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, there is a tremendous concept here, and we've been speaking about it in the last couple of services, and that is the seed of Abraham and what it means. And you notice right away, as soon as you get into it, that you have here a very peculiar concept. In verses 3 and 4, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and I give men for thee and people for thy life. Now, who is God saying this concerning? See, in verse 7, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Now, when we go through the Bible, and starting with the time that God called Abraham, we find that God has the nations of the earth that God wants to save. The Bible says God is willing that all should be saved, that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any man should perish. And that's one concept, God's willingness to keep people from being destroyed by his wrath. And for this purpose, he's given Jesus on the cross that anybody, no matter how much they've sinned, might be saved in the day of wrath, might receive the washing of the blood and be saved, and through the Spirit be born again and serve the Lord. So there's no need for anyone to be lost. Unfortunately, the Bible indicates that some will, but it's so needless because all we have to do is repent and be baptized, and we will be saved. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But there's another whole concept that runs through the Scripture in addition to the concept of salvation. In addition, it's parallel and it relates to salvation, but in a way it's different. And we need to know the difference, and we need to understand it clearly. And that is the concept of the seed of Abraham. The people that God has predestinated. Now, I don't think any place in the Bible it teaches us that God has predestinated anybody to be saved. But it most surely teaches us that God has elected some people from the earth to serve God in a special way. These people are also saved, as are the nations of the earth. But in addition, they have awesome opportunities and awesome promises and awesome demands made upon them. And it's important for us to understand this, because otherwise we'll get saved, we'll believe in Jesus, and then we'll be baptized in water and we're saved. We know we're saved. We say, well, now I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Well, then, as we go through the Christian journey, God begins to deal with us about every aspect of our life. We go through much tribulation. We go through tests and trials and fiery sufferings, and God deals with the smallest part of our life concerning sin and self-will. And then our natural reaction is, well, what does all this mean? Does it mean that the devil is getting his way? Does it mean that I'm cold? Does it mean that I have just not been lucky? What does it mean? Why can't I just be happy like everybody else and sing the songs of Zion? Why does tragedy enter my life? It has nothing to do with heaven. I'm saved by faith, by grace. Why then am I experiencing these things? And why does Jesus say to me, unless you take up your cross, lay down your life and follow me, you cannot be my disciple? What relationship does this have to being saved, if anything? And because these two things are not clear, people do not interpret correctly what's happening to them. When something very grievous that demands all of their attention happens to them, this is an interference. It's no purpose to it. It's just for me. But if you understand that God is doing something with you, more than salvation, much more than salvation, then you're going to understand that you are in a training program. And no amount of faith, no amount of doctrine, no amount of anything is going to deliver you from it. This is your path. And it is a straight path, and it is a narrow path. And you're not trying to attain heaven. You're trying to attain the purpose of God in your life. And I've identified here, we probably kept them this morning, at least 14 roles and tasks that come upon the seed of Abraham that are eternal, that you are going to be doing forever. You're not called to serve a little bit in this life and then play harps forever. God has called you with an eternal calling. And this life is preparatory for that calling. Of course, we have to be utterly obedient in this life if we hope to attain our ministry in the next. But we are being called to eternal service in God. And one of the roles that we will have, and it involves a task, is as God's kings. And another one is God's priests. And another one is the brothers of Jesus Christ. And another one is God's judges. And another one is God's image. And another one is God's temple. We've got all kinds of things, and these are not temporary roles and tasks. These are eternal. And so, if we are part of the seed of Abraham, if we are part of this, that God says, I have called him, I have given nations for you, then we are not talking here about basic salvation. We are talking about God's elect that God has chosen from the foundation of the world to be unto him a separate, peculiar people from whom shines the light of God and who are the light of the world. Do you see the difference? It's much more than being saved. It includes being saved, but it is infinitely more than a ticket to heaven. It is that God has known you from the foundation of the world and has called you. And for that reason, your whole life is one long training session. You are not an average person in the world that hopes you're saved and goes to heaven. God has called you from among the nations. You are not of this world. You have nothing to do with this world. You have one supreme calling in life, and that is to be God's servant. Praise the Lord. And any other desire, any other idol, any other burning ambition, Jesus will deal with until you comprehend that that is not for you. It may be for other people. It is highly individual. So please use these that we're saying this morning to interpret, to understand what God is doing. So you won't compare yourself with somebody else and say, but you're not requiring that of them. You're not making them do that. They can go on. Look at how happy they are, and they've got their act together and they're doing swimmingly. That isn't your role. That isn't your goal. Your goal is to be a king and priest of God. And that is number one. And that is why you're here this morning. That is why the call of God is on you. And you'll never be able to rest until God's perfect will is being done in your life. Praise the Lord. These two things run through the Scripture. Salvation, as exemplified by Rahab and the red cord. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then you have another thread running through, and that is the elect of God, predestinated to be in the image of Jesus, God's kings and priests. We are destined to be the light of the world. Hallelujah. And so, our Christianity is much more than being saved. It is a laying down of our life so that God's will may be done. Are you willing to do that? Double-mindedness that throws us into when all we've heard is just being salvation, because we thought, well, if I'm just saved, I can still go on with my life as usual and have a good life, and at the end I'll die and go to heaven. That's not the vision. That's not the vision. The vision is that God has called you now. You begin serving Him now, and today, as far as you're concerned, is the first day of eternity. Praise the Lord. And what God is training you for continues right on through forever. Praise the Lord. Say, I might be busy in heaven. Well, with 14 roles and tasks, you'll be more than busy. You'll be consumed with activity and interest and things that God is preparing you for. All right, now we find the beginning of the seed in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham had offered up Isaac. Now, the reason that God gave this revelation then is because those who are of Abraham, those who are part of the seed, will be tried in obedience until everything in their life has been given to God. And I mean everything. Praise the Lord. You see, now we're not talking about being saved. You don't have to do this to be saved. You have to do this to be a part of the elect. And you say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do already. I'll settle for salvation. That temptation ever cross your mind? Let me tell you something. You don't have that option. You do not have that option. If you have been given little, little will be required of you. If you have been given much, much will be required of you. You cannot compare yourself with anybody else. And if God has called you to be a part of His church, of the bride of the Lamb, of the body of Christ, of the elect of God, you cannot say, I'll settle for bare salvation and go to heaven. You will be judged in terms of your calling, and either you will obey God or you will be judged for being disobedient. Please keep that in mind, because when we lay these things out, that is a temptation, especially in America. I don't think it's much of a temptation in Russia. But here, where we have so much to, quote, lose, and I say that in quotes, because we're not losing anything but misery when we lose the world. Praise the Lord. But it's not as apparent to us here as it may be behind the iron curtain. Praise the Lord, behind the iron curtain, you know, you're going to lose it anyway if you accept the Lord. But here you seem to have an option. I can be live a good, nice Christian life and be happy like all the other happy Christians and go to heaven. But this man's talking about something I never heard of, laying down your life, forsaking everything, hating your life, and following Jesus, and offering up your Isaacs, letting everything go to be the seed of Abraham. You don't have a choice. God has called you to that. You're stuck with it. Praise the Lord. You have the highest opportunity. You have, let me tell you something about the opportunity that you have. You have the opportunity to see Christ in His glory. And that they may behold my glory. You remember that? That's inconceivable. We could have. He's not a 6-foot man walking around in sheet and sandals. He is the power that created the universe. You have something beyond that. You have been called to see the face of the Father and live. Revelation 22, and His servant shall see His face. That if seeing Christ's glory is incomprehensible, seeing the face of the Father is something you almost don't dare speak about. It's holy beyond holiness. God has called you to total authority. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. God has called you to inherit everything in heaven and upon the earth. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. God has called you to total fruitfulness. I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Total eternal fruitfulness on a level with that of Abraham. That is what God has called you to. And it's, as Paul says, we have to forget everything and grasp that for which we have been grasped. We have to give our whole life to win Christ. To win Christ, Philippians 3, that I may win Christ. Praise the Lord. Not talking about basic salvation. We're talking about the calling upon the elect. That's why God gave nations for you, because one of the elect is greater than any. See, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. All right, the feeble shall be as David. Now, in Genesis 22, when Abraham gave this ultimate, then God spoke to him about the seed that should inherit all things. Genesis 22, verses 16 through 18. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing. You see, it's not only faith, but it is the doing. Faith without works is dead. Because thou hast done this thing, James pointed this out. You see how Abraham was justified, James says, when he gave his son. Faith is made visible and perfect and living by means of work. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. You see the division between the seed and the nations? That's why Jesus came to us and said, you are the light of the world. Many promises in Isaiah speak to the fact that God has saved us to be a blessing to the nations. You are not saved to live unto yourself. You are not saved to go up and play harps beside a river in the spiritual realm. You're not saved for that. You're not saved to go and acquire a mansion somewhere and live unto yourself. You are saved to lose your individuality, that you might be part of God and part of other people as God leads. God is making you, wants to make you bread for the nations. God wants to make you the life that will cause other people to live. God wants to make you a tree of life. Hallelujah. God has not called you to live unto yourself as a normal person. God has called you to be part of Himself. As He has sent Jesus, Jesus has sent you that you might be the bread of God. And I'll tell you this, you'll never know the fullest joy possible to you until you are willing to lose yourself in God and in other people as God leads you. As God leads you. Praise the Lord. As long as you retain your right to yourself and your right to choose and your right to be an individual, you'll remain alone. You'll remain alone. It's only as you cast yourself upon God and say, I'm going to be holy in God. I'm going to live in God. Then God will receive that offering and accept it. Because that's an eternal covenant you're making with God. You say, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live in God as part of God. And out of that will come service. I have ordained you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That's how Jesus is. Wholly lost in God. And wholly lost in you. See? He's not an individual. He has identity, but he has given. He is an individual, you understand. But he has given his prerogatives to God and to you, that you might be a part of him. If he didn't do that, he'd be by himself and you'd be by yourself. But he has voluntarily denied himself. For their sakes I sanctify myself, in order that you might live. And he's given you his body and blood, right? He's given you his body and blood. He has given up his life that you might live. Is that right? As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And the truest joy you'll ever find in life that is possible to you and to me is to lose ourselves in God's will. And then as God directs us, to lose ourselves in other people. Praise the Lord. It's a high calling and it's possible through the Lord. He's called us to that. So he says, in thy seed shall the nations... See, God is after the nations. And he has saved us because he wants to rule the nations. He wants to bless the nations. He wants to be revealed to the nations. He wants to teach the nations. He wants to live among the nations. That's what God is after, the nations. And you have been called out from the world, and you're not a part of the world, in order that you might be a tree of life for the nations, that you might live in other people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't sound attractive when you're bound up in yourself. But when God begins to break you, there's got to be a purpose for this breaking. And the purpose is that we might be multiplied. Praise the Lord. Boy, you get a calling like that, you can't hold on to your life anymore. Who wants to live by himself? A little person tied up in himself is a little small package there. All right, we're talking about the seed. And I say, who is the seed? One of the real bad problems that has come out of the teaching of the rapture is the division between Israel and the Gentiles. This is totally false. It's totally unscriptural. We are Israel. Israel is Israel and we are Israel. We've been grafted into the true Israel of God. We're not separate. There's no such thing as a Gentile church. The scripture doesn't use such a term. It's an improper concept. Now we turn to Galatians 3. Praise the Lord. We're on three stations now. Thank God. We've already been on this morning in Mississippi. We'll be on in 30 minutes in Sacramento. And on again tonight in Dallas. Praise the Lord. Will you pray with me that God will expand this ministry? The letters that we get are so pathetic that people have such needs. One of them last week said, I was flipping the dials in San Francisco. I was flipping the dials hoping to get some meat. Praise the Lord. And the result was about a 3-page letter. And you just, that it would just touch your heart to see what God is doing as He reaches out. God doesn't want us bound up in a little church. God wants us to communicate. Praise the Lord. And He's opening the doors. He's opening the doors. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. All right, in Galatians 3, you'll notice in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and to no one else. You know the promises we read in Isaiah 43? You know to whom those promises are given? To the seed of Abraham. The ones we read in concert at the beginning of the study, you walk through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. Those promises are made only to Jesus Christ. They're not made to everybody and his brother. They're made only to Jesus. Well, then how can they apply to you? When you're part of Him. When you're part of Him. They're always, God is, the promises leaped over Israel, as we shall see, the Israel after the flesh. Now to Abraham, he saith not unto seeds, not as though Abraham had many seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Who is the promises made to? Christ. They were never made to Israel after the flesh. They cannot apply to Israel after the flesh. But yet, is God going to turn to Israel after the flesh? Yes. Yes, He is. We see that what the angel said to Mary and to Elizabeth. Yes, He is. But we Gentiles are not a Gentile church. We are being grafted upon Christ, who is the true Israel of God. Praise the Lord. There it is in the Bible. All right, look at 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? This is the law of Moses. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. So you see, the promise to Abraham leaped over Moses. It didn't apply to them. The thing was put on ice until the seed came. And when God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. Who is He talking about? Come on. Jesus Christ. This is what it says. It says the seed should come. Well, the seed came after the law. If wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, wherefore serveth Moses? Moses was not the seed. Israel was not the seed. The seed is Christ. You see that? And no Jew can enter the kingdom of God until he does what? Receive Jesus. Then does he become a Gentile? No. What happens when a Gentile receives Jesus? Yeah, he becomes Israel. There's not two olive trees. There's only one. We're grafted. The promises are to the children. And the gospel is to the Jew first. We're studying a Jewish teacher here, Paul. We need to realize that, because God's going to turn to the Jews in the end time. We really need to realize the debt we owe that nation. Nonetheless, the seed is Christ, and the law was added to put everything on ice and to take care of transgressions until the seed should come. The seed of Abraham. We're talking this morning about the seed, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. See, thy seed shall come from far. Everyone that's created for my glory. That's Jesus and those who are part of him. All right. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now we look at the end of the chapter, verse 28 of Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek. You see, once you receive Christ, we become heirs of Israel, but there's not a Jewish church and a Greek church or a Gentile church. See, it doesn't understand. It doesn't obtain whole water scripturally. It does not hold water. There's only one Israel of God, and that is Jesus and those who are part of Him. So this idea of God taking up a Gentile church is contrary to Paul. There's only one church. There's only one fold. There's only one shepherd. There's only one Holy Spirit. Other sheep have I which are not of this fold, and I will bring them. There should be one fold. Good morning, Jews. Good morning, Israel. The seed of... That's right. Rabbi Thompson. I've been called that in the Jewish church, too. Rabbi. That's right. I get my hat. You know, the little thing to keep the rain off your head. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. Yeah, I was told that in the Jewish church. I said, what's the matter? Don't you know the Bible? They said, you're the rabbi. All right. There is neither male nor female. See? New creation. For you are all one. We're all one. In Christ Jesus, that one seed, there's not two seeds, it's only one seed. And there's no promise to the Jew after the flesh. See, we need to understand that. Jerusalem, which is on earth, is in bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, is the mother of us all. That's the true Jerusalem. Now, someday, the true Jerusalem is going to come down and be superimposed on the natural Jerusalem. Because Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. But right now, the true Jerusalem is in heaven. We need to understand that because, say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, we should pray for the Jews after the flesh. We should. I believe in that. But let's keep in mind that when Jesus comes, he's the true Son of David. And he's going to sit on the throne of Jerusalem, of David in Jerusalem, and we're going to go there with him. Praise the Lord. And be part of this one seed. We are the seed. And verse 29, and if you be Christ, that is, if we belong to Jesus Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Pretty plain, isn't it? And heirs according to the promise. Now, what was the promise? In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You see how God has called us out from the world that we might be the light of the world, not live unto ourselves, but become bread for the nations. And if you are one of God's chosen, a part of the seed of Abraham, then you can't say, I'm just going to get saved and go to heaven and play my harp. God has called you with the calling that rests on the seed of Abraham. Now, we see the difference in the calling of salvation and then the calling which is beyond salvation. We mentioned this Tuesday night. Now, when Lot was called out of Sodom. That's the calling of what? Salvation. God was going to destroy Sodom, and he said, come out so that you will be saved. Now, one thing I want you to notice, I think that God today is calling us out of sin. Because he is going to judge our nation because of its sin. We should pray for it. We should keep on praying for America. We should pray. But unless America goes in a wholesale repentance, we're going to be judged. And God doesn't save you when he starts his wrath moving. If Lot had stayed in there until the fire began to fall, he and his daughters would have been destroyed. He doesn't save you once the fire begins to fall. God tells you in advance, and you come out now from the American covetousness, violence, lust, perversity, atheism, agnosticism, humanism, witchcraft, drunkenness, preoccupation with games and amusement, a little bit. But don't become occupied with it. It's become a national means of evading the horrors of our time is to perseverate, to particularize on games, is to relieve your mind, is to cease recognizing what's happening, you see. A little bit of entertainment, a little bit of relaxation in measure, moderation, not the wholesale debauchery that our nation is on. God is saying, come out of it. Because when the fire falls, it'll be too late. You won't be caught in it. Praise the Lord. All right, now that is a coming out for salvation. But you see, there was a different calling. The calling on Abraham to leave Ur was not a calling unto salvation. God wasn't going to destroy Ur. There isn't one thing said in the Bible that Ur was a wicked city. That it was violent, that it was drunken. That was not why God called Abraham out of Ur, because he was going to destroy Ur. Ur was a great metropolitan center in its day. But there's nothing said about it that it was a wicked city. God called Abraham out of Ur for a different reason. It was not to be saved. It was to become a great nation. To become the father of many nations. And so, If God called you out from sin, that's a Lot calling. God, all that God demanded of Lot was to get out of town. Praise the Lord. But God never said that to Abraham. His lessons began after he went out. God dealt with him. I am the Lord. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And look how God taught him through Ishmael to wait for the promise of God. Look how God taught him and dealt with him. None of this happened to Lot. God never said to Lot, offer up your only son. I had two daughters. He didn't say, offer up your only daughter or one of your two daughters or both daughters. God didn't appear to Lot and say, I am God Almighty, walk before me. We're not the seed of Lot. Lot was saved. He's a type of salvation. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. He's a type of salvation. But our calling is not a calling to leave sin and then wait to go to heaven. Our calling is like Abraham to come out unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. We have been called not just out from, but to something. So the God's dealing with us does not end when we get saved. It begins when we get saved. Lot's ended when he got saved. Ours begins when we're called out from our relatives. He get thee out from thy kindred. And from thy home, everything that's familiar, and go to a land that I will show you. It has nothing to do with you, Abraham. My hand is on you. He called Abraham out for no reason other than he wanted to. This Abraham doesn't say he was righteous or anything. At least says Lot was righteous. But God just called Abraham out, and he called him his friend. The friend of God. Hallelujah. Never called Lot that. Friend of God. And he's become the father of all that believe. Lot brought forth Moab and Ammon, and they couldn't stand in the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. And Abraham became the father of all that believe. Huh? Do you want to just be saved by the skin of your teeth? And just die and then go to paradise? That's not what we're called to. We're called to be a father of many nations. Praise the Lord. Your whole life is a training period, and the more attention you give to it, the easier it'll go on you, and the more you'll attain in the Lord. Praise God. What does it mean that you give up? Your shovels, your micrometers, your portfolio? You can't have it everything. So you can't have everything. You've got to make your choice. You've got to, just like thinning corn in Chula Vista, you have to pull all the run ears off the stalk. You're lucky if you get two ears off it, but you won't get any good ears if you let them all grow. And you let everything grow in your life, you won't bring forth any fruit to perfection. You have a bunch of run ears. That's all you'll have out of your life. You've done a little of this and a little of that and a little of the next thing. Let God come through and pull off some of those run ears so that God can pour the energy into your life, into what He's called you for. And then your profiting will appear to all, and you'll save yourself and those that hear you. If you got 10 hobbies going and your life is all split up, you won't bring forth any fruit to perfection. Nothing. Praise the Lord. You'll be a jack of all trades and a master of none. Oh, how wonderful. I used to like to teach gifted children when I was in a public school teacher. And gifted children, you're probably a gifted child this morning. And you see if you are, if you have this characteristic. Gifted children love to do this. They love to start 20 things. And then the next day they start 20 things. And the next day. And their desk looks like Fibber McGee's closet. You know, it's just a chaotic, completely chaotic. Because a gifted person, a bright and creative person, he can see all kinds of things that he wants to do. And he rightly charges off in 6 directions at once. But they don't finish anything. They don't tend to be finishers. And so what you have to do to the teaching gifted children, you say, now look, let's settle on one thing and finish the thing. See? And that's good. And that will help them, train them to have character. It's not who begins something, but who finishes it. So that is this. Those that are not quite that energetic or intellectually agitated don't seem to have this problem. But gifted children do. So maybe you're a gifted child and you've got a lot of things going. God wants to trim down all those hobbies. And just get your life going on one course. Not two courses. One. God, what do you want me to do today? You've called me to be bread for the nations, a light of the nations. Now what is it that you want me to be? It's a full-time calling. And little by little, God will chip away at these other run ears and strip them off. Well, you'll holler like 60. You know how you take run ears off? You don't go through with scissors. And you don't go through with a knife. There's no time for that. You go through, bent over until your back breaks with a hand on this stalk and a hand over here, and you go through the rows and you rip them all. There isn't time to go through nice and prune them off with your knife. At least not in where it's commercial. You've just got to go through and pull off the run ears. And God does that sometimes. He just goes through and pull off the run ears. And we holler like 60. What in the world, God? That was a good ear that's coming up there. Well, that's true, but God, this is too many on one stalk. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, and you see, again, this concept in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. It's brought out very clearly. God's purpose in Israel. See, you've got to grasp this because you are Israel. Christ is the true Israel of God. Brother Cox brought that out one day from a scripture. Christ is the true Israel of God. He's the true prince with God and the true seed of God. And we are part of that seed. Paul uses the expression in Galatians 6, peace be on them on the true Israel of God. No, on the Israel of God is the expression. And we are the Israel of God if we are part of Jesus, because he's above all, he's the Jew of the Jews. All right, now in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. Now notice that. He didn't say, you shall be saved. See, what I'm trying to point out to you is there's more than salvation. When God called Israel, he didn't say, now I'm going to call you out to be saved, but I'm going to destroy India and China and Russia and all these things. I'm going to destroy them. I've called you into salvation. He didn't call Israel to salvation. He called them to be unto him a peculiar treasure. And God has called you to be unto him a peculiar people. And that word in the Greek means a people peculiarly God's own. It's the same word that we use for idiomatic. Belonging to God in an idiomatic way. We have been called not just to be saved. He didn't call Israel out just to be saved. He says that you shall be a peculiar treasure. Now that same thing is applied to us in the New Testament. That you may be a peculiar people. That is a people belonging to God in a special way. See, that's much more than salvation. It's much more than salvation. And that's what Jesus said, you are not of this world. He says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them whom you have given me out of the world. They belong to you. They're not even of the world. Hey? They're going to be made one in God. I in them and thou in me, that they may be one. They'll lose their self in God. And then what does it say will happen to the world? The world will believe, see, that the world may believe. God is always after the nations. God so loved the world. God is after the nations. He's not willing that the nations should perish. And we see in Matthew where we have the sheep nations and we have the goat nations. And that's where Jesus is dealing with his nations. He's not dealing with the elect there. He's not going to get the elect in nations and then say, because you gave a cup of cold water. See, the nations are judged on how they respond to God's elect. See, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren. And so he sends a whole nation in life eternal. That's not the elect. He's not going to wait and raise us from the dead and we'll ever be with the Lord and then bring us down and put us at his right hand. That's talking about the nations. When the Son of God shall come in his glory, then shall be gathered before him all nations. Some nations will be saved, some will be lost. I hope the United States will prove to be a saved nation. Whether it is or not will determine on what it does with God's elect. If it supports them and blesses them, God will save it. Because you see, the blessing of Abraham rests on us. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I will curse. That abides on Abraham, doesn't it? Then we are heirs of that promise. It abides on Jesus. And so, if the nations give a cup of cold water, visit in prison, otherwise support the elect of God, then God will bless them. But if they persecute God's elect, then God will curse them. And so the seed becomes the basis on which God judges. That's who we are. That's why our testimony is so important. Now see, he says, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. He didn't say all people will be lost. He said, I am taking you and I'm elevating you so that you will belong to me because I own the whole earth. And that's what Jesus said in John 17. See? As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. See election operating there? And choice? And notice in verse 6 of Exodus 19. You shall be unto me a what? A kingdom of priests. And in 1 Peter 2 it says, you are a royal priesthood, that the nations will glorify God in the day of visitation. That it's not your carcass that is at stake in the way you behave. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to get a global view, folks. We've got to get a global view. There's a time for us to spend endless hours analyzing our own constitution. Do you know what I mean? That's, is an occupational hazard of being an overcomer. Am I all right? It's all right. Does somebody have a word for me? What's going on today? And it goes on. Pray for me. I've got cold, you know, and all. And we go on and on. And we spend all of our energy trying to be healthy. And I pray for me that I'll get a good job and make lots of money. Oh, pray for me. I need a new car. Oh, pray for me, you know. You know, some of that is good, and we have not because we ask not, and we should pray. We, you know, if anybody has a need, let him ask of God. But if that's what your prayer is limited to, you're not catching the global vision. God has called you to be bread for the nations. And there has to be a time when you get your own affairs in order and begin to see how God is going to use you and move out from you so that you become a liability, that you become an asset instead of a liability in the kingdom of God. God wants us to get out from just me and mine and will I be happy? Because God has called us to much more than this. All the earth is mine. Think of the people today in the world. As the Four Square is opening up now in India and also in Scandinavia, thank God. They're going into it's either Finland or Denmark or both, one or the other. But the Four Square now has opened up and registered in the land of India, praise the Lord. And they're reporting as they begin their assessment of India, there's 1,000 or so many tribes that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Never even heard it. And here we are, oh Lord, you know, help me to acquire this and do that and all. See, it's an abomination. God wants us to spend some time on ourselves, but the rest of the time on God's purposes, God's will, God's burden. Praise the Lord. And we're trying to make room for that in our service. Wednesday morning, we're trying to steer on the prayer meeting. Not exclusively, we're not saying don't pray for yourself, I'm not saying that, we're just trying to give some emphasis here. We're trying to make Wednesday morning more a global outreach. We need to pray for Russia. We need to pray for the nation. We need to pray for Scandinavia. They've been mighty in the Lord and have, within recent years, fallen on hard times as far as spiritual things are concerned. We need to do, and our sister from Sweden, that's true of Sweden, I'm sure she could tell you that, the big church in Sweden there is one of the greatest Pentecostal churches in the world, the Philadelphia Church. But I believe from what I've heard there needs to be revival there. And repentance, is that right? And in other places, and other places have been mighty in the Lord in Scandinavia. And in some cases they've grown cold. They need to become strong in the Lord. And we need to pray. And if we're all the time on me and mine and my house and my little deal, we miss what God is doing. Hallelujah! And then we have our Friday night meeting in which there may be times, there as there were last Friday night, wonderful, strong attendance, and time for some personal words. There's time for that too, to build up the body of Christ. But at some point in our life, we've got to get our minds off ourselves and us for and no more and begin to realize that all the earth is the Lord's. And He's concerned. You know, we're waiting sometimes for the nations to repent and serve God. But the truth of the matter is, the nations are waiting for the church to give themselves to God. Because when we get in a place where we should be, God will bless the nations. See? That's how it works. The nations aren't going to repent. We can forget about that. The point is that when we get right, then God can use us. And I was interested in that prophecy this morning because that's so true. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, as I remember, it says that God clothed himself with Samson as with a glove. And you notice the prophecy that said this morning, I'm not going to clothe you with myself like a glove, but you have to stretch. How many remember that? Do you see what God is getting at? You see how Samson was used of God, but he never changed. And many of the Old Testament people were used of God. Jehu was used of God, but he never changed. Gideon was used of God, but he never changed. In other words, they were just a glove. And God is not looking for gloves. He's looking for people who are members of the kingdom of God, who, like Paul, have reached forth until they're transformed into the image of Jesus, where they're used, yes, but in the using, they themselves become part of God and are transformed into His image. It's a day of stretching. It's a day of becoming. We can't just go in our life and live as we are and then say, well, maybe God will use me. He's done that in the Old Testament. He's done it in the New. He's used people and then they have lost out with God and ended up with jail and every other crazy thing, run off with the piano player and all kinds of things. Has happened in churches. See, they were used. They were anointed. People say, well, could they be used and still be living in adultery? Yes. God clothed himself. The Holy Spirit had a job for them to do, but they themselves did not profit. Like Paul said, I'd be a castaway. They were castaways, is what happened, because they didn't profit from the thing that God did. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't want to just use you and then have you the same person. He wants you transformed. Praise the Lord. So you're not just a glove, but you're God's hand extended. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he says in... you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words. And in Isaiah 60, verse 12, the nation, this is Isaiah 60, 12, the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. See, the nations are called to serve the seed. They're called to serve Israel. We see that in Revelation 21, don't we? Where the kingdoms come and bring their glory to the wife of the Lamb. Isaiah 60, verse 12. You see, the nations and kingdoms are going to be obligated to serve the seed once the seed is made ready. Huh? 14 roles and tasks. We'll get it some other time. God wants you to become and to do for eternity. So you're going to be busy. You better do your harp playing here. Buy a harp, practice on. All right, now, Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. See, it's by choice. Jesus said, John 15, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So you're chosen of the Lord. You didn't choose Jesus. He chose you just like he did Abraham. You are my witnesses and my servant. You're God's servant. God is not your servant. How many know that? Now, we have a tendency in our times to try to make God our servant, don't we? Boy, if I've got faith, God's got to do this. No, he doesn't got to do anything. What we've got to do is to become God's servants and quit trying to make Jesus our servant. That's what we've got to do. All right. You are my servant whom I have chosen that you may know and believe me. That's the first thing that God wants. That's why you're going through trouble. That's why God's dealing with your idols, because the first thing that a witness of God has to know is he's got to know and believe God. Not doctrine, not about God, not the church, not what somebody told him, not what his mother told him, as valuable as that is. You've got to know God for yourself. Not about God. Not the preacher's God. Not the church and all its terms and its ways. God. And when you're brought before God, you'll know it. I won't have to tell you when it happened. You'll know it. Praise the Lord. You will understand that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And that's why God called you from your profession, from your families. He said, Abraham, come out from your kindred. Your family, and I don't mean your close family, mother and dad and all that, but you get all the uncles and cousins. And anybody in here, your uncles and cousins first, second, and third cousins are not serving God as they should. Well, don't let them pull you down. That's right. Stand. Make them come your way. Don't go their way. They'll pull you down. God said to Abraham, come out from your kindred. Well, why not? They worshipped idols. They were Syrians. He says, come out of there, and I'll show you. And until he did, he had problems. He had problems. And until you come out and recognize God has called you, not just from sin, but from your family, from everything that's familiar, from your profession, from your way of life, and he's going to bring you in a place where you've never been. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about becoming the seed of Abraham, a great nation, a father, fruitful, dominion, God's image. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And what he'll do, you know why he calls you out from all that? So that you won't have a crutch to lean on. So that he can marry you and know you. So that you'll know God. And your relatives, the only thing they'll ever know about God is what you tell them. Right? You save yourself and those that hear you. But you had the privilege of meeting, number one, meeting God. And they'll have to take your word for it. But without you, they don't have anything. So without Abraham, when Abraham went out, it says, you read the Bible, it says, God remembered Abraham and he delivered Lot. And you will be the savior of your family if you will let God have his perfect way. But if not, you will be beaten with many stripes. This is what Jesus said many times. He said, where, when will I be beaten? He didn't say that, but it will happen. Praise the Lord. Unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. So you don't have any choice. You're stuck. You had it. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you this day. Lord, the things that you have called us to behold your glory, to see the face of God, to have authority, to be a king and priest. Lord, these roles and tasks and opportunities, Lord, are so staggering. They're so stupendous. They're so beyond anything we can imagine or grasp, Lord, that we are utterly amazed, Lord, at the extent of your love toward us. And we realize that Satan and the world and our flesh and soul, and sometimes people, Lord, are constantly trying to pull us down from the cross, trying to pull us down from the thing that you've called us to, Lord. And we don't blame them because the fault is not in them, Lord. The fault is in us if we let anything distract from the vision that you have called us to. So, Lord, we don't blame a soul for our condition. Lord, we blame only ourselves if we're not following you with all of our might and heart and soul and strength and coming unto you. Hallelujah. You're so great, Lord. We don't even regard our own self, Lord. We're the dust of the ground, nothing. But we cling to the Word of God by faith, as Abraham did, that you will exalt us to your throne, that we may behold the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. And someday the face of God and live. God, you have called us to be your sons and heirs. And Lord, we have bid this world goodbye. And while every head is bowed, there may be some. And though we're getting a message from the radio and the tapes and all these times of calling us to repentance are a blessing. And hope they're a blessing to people. But it gives us a chance. And there may be some here this morning that you know in your heart that what I've said is a grief to you. You know that. And you think, oh boy, do I have to give up this? Do I have to give up that? You're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking in the wrong direction. God said, don't look back. And God wants you to cease and trust in him to give you material, whatever you need. God will not waste your life. You can forget about that. He will not waste your life. Now, he says this morning, I want your heart single, I want you to know me, and I don't want any detraction from that perfect attention to my glory. And if you're here this morning, and you're not that way, I want you to rise up from where you are and come down to this altar and pray. If you need help, we'll help you. If you want to do it with God, you do it with God. But you do not want to vacillate anymore. The time is short, and we've got to do what we're doing. Praise the Lord. So if you're here this morning and your mind is divided and you're afraid you're going to lose something and you're afraid to trust God 100%, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord. They're talking of the seed of Abraham now. If you're an heir of God and God's call is on your life, you'll never rest until you give it all to God. Otherwise, God's going to deal with you endlessly until you go one way or the other. And we're saying this morning, why don't you come? Why don't you come and tell the Lord, no more fooling around. I'm going one way and that's it. Is there anyone this morning? Don't want to close the service without giving you a chance. Is your eye single? Is your heart right on with God? Or are you unable to make up your mind? Is the world still calling you? Is the world and its siren call still in your ears? If so, will you come up this morning? Because the sons of God are going to trample this world underfoot. We're going to trample it underfoot because God has called us out from it and we want nothing of it. We are not of the world. And we have made that decision, and it is for eternity. The world is finished as far as we're concerned. We're concerned only about the kingdom of God and the salvation for the nations. But the world has no more attraction for us. Praise the Lord. By God's grace, if you're here this morning, you want that testimony, will you come? And we'll pray that God will help you to tread that underfoot. Amen. Shall we stand? And maybe some here, will you come? It's a little bit more time. And then we're going to close the service. If you're here this morning, and I don't care young or old or how young you are, whatever, if God has called you, remember there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. If you're the seed of Abraham, God has called you to be a peculiar treasure unto Him. Praise Your wonderful name. Lord, we hold out the opportunity to Your people, Lord, Your saints, that they may have every opportunity in these days which are a prelude to what You're doing, Lord. And we hold out every opportunity to Your people, Lord, to come out from this world, to leave it, and to enter in to the calling of God, to the high calling of God. And Lord, if there's one in the sound of My voice, I pray that they will take this opportunity. Tomorrow there be no opportunity. Tonight there may be no opportunity, Lord. So we hold this time that everyone may have ample chance and opportunity to say to God, Lord, I'm through fooling around. I want to go for the top. I want to go for the calling of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to forsake what's behind. I'm going to count this world as dung, as Paul did, that I may win Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we're counting then that everyone is at peace with God in your heart. If not, won't you consider what we've had to say very, very carefully this afternoon. Don't distract your mind with the foolishness that's on the radio, television. It's all death, 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 death. And it's constant emphasis on games and interest and things. It's death to your soul. So why don't you, if you're in any kind of unsettledness, just turn it off. Go to your bedroom. Kneel down. Say, God, I'm going to make that tremendous consecration.
You follow the path that has seemed right in your heart and in your mind. Yea, and in the traveling you have been wounded. Oh, for the Lord thy God has intercepted thee, has come across thy path in His goodness and in His mercy, and has wounded thee even as thy heart has cried for help. Thy help has been a pain unto thee. But the Lord would say to thee, He wounds and He heals. And He would heal thee even this day, would pour in the balm of Gilead and reconcile thee to Himself and show thee great mercy, even the mercy of the Lord thy God that you have experienced in time past and know full well that He calleth to thee. Yea, He would enfold thee. He would restore the years that have been eaten by the canker worm. Yeah. He would bring thee to a place of rejoicing and knowledge of Him. He would restore thee yet again to full knowledge and association with thy God. The years are not past that shall draw thee away from God, but shall draw thee to Him and a full knowledge of Him, and thou shalt walk as a lamb carried in His bosom. Yea, and a path of righteousness shall be set before thee, and the power of the Lord thy God shall be placed within thee, and thou shalt once more know thy God and be rejoicing in Him.
Amen. That applies to you. Will you come? As we're closing, if that's you, will you come? This is just our family here. Lay hands on you. Pray that God's will be done in your life. Wonderful word for someone, maybe several. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You can come while we're singing. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord,
lift me up.
And have the altar workers come. And altar workers come, please. And deal with these at the altar, would you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen, 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 O Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ili arabahaya arabahaya arabahaya. Oh, thou art worthy. Amen. Amen. Is anyone else? Will you come? Several at the altar. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, as we're dismissing, please, no one come through here for the tapes. Go around on the sidewalk. I'll ask the council members, please, go around on the sidewalk to the back, in the back door into my office, and Paul will tell you what's on my mind. I'm going to deal here with the altar. Please, no one use this side door. Let's keep this closed. Tape room door closed. We don't want any interference with these. God's impressed us on our hearts on these altar things. Many people have been helped. So please, cooperate with us in this. The council around and in the back. Tape ministry around and in the back, please. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Padro, if he will, to dismiss us in prayer. Hallelujah. Brother Padro, if you will. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. 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 Avarakahanalalabahashiya. Hallelujah. Now let's keep the front part of the